are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock here. I'm with Mr. Nick Winkler. It is a Winky Wednesday here on Locked On 49ers. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play. You can find it on iHeartRadio. You can find the podcast just about everywhere. You can follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can follow Nick on Twitter at Bay Area Wink. Locked On 49ers at Gmail. Those are the ways to get in touch with us and get involved in these mailbag segments. We're going to hit the mailbag today, and we're going to talk about what else is going on in Ninerland. We got some OTAs, and then I do want to get Nick's thoughts on the late Dwight Clark, because, I know he's a big fan. So let's get this going and bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, what's happening, man?
Brian, not much, man. You know, just getting to watch some video out of practice. That's always exciting. And just seeing Reuben Foster out there, even more exciting. So things are good.
I know you got Mad Bums first start of the year on mute back there. So don't get too distracted here.
Yeah. If you ask me a question and there's just a lot of silence, you'll know why.
Okay.
That's something good. Big has just happened.
You know, it's funny. I was going through some of the old audio that I have collected, and I keep it pretty tight, and I don't keep stuff for very long, but I found some stuff from last season. And it's hopefully stuff you're not going to hear anymore. Do you remember this one?
What do we say? Please tell me! What?
Do you remember that one? The guy that was just yelling, "Why do we suck?" after one of the 49ers games?
That was great. Yeah, we're not going to hear that.
Yeah. So hopefully those kind of things 49ers fans aren't hearing and yelling at Levi's Stadium this season.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was listening to Pardon the Interruption today as I was driving home, and they were talking about how Trump is being so dumb in the White House about all this stuff and everything. And they're like, you know, and I know that all the owners don't represent this, you know, want for the national anthem nonsense. And Michael Wilbon was just like, yeah, I mean, Jed York, for example, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's so strange to like have Jed York on the good side of something, because it's been so negative for so long. It's just like, it still surprises me, even though I knew it happened, you know, and I know that he's taken all the right steps the last year and a half or so, but it's still, to this day, it still like takes me aback whenever I hear like, oh, positive Jed York stuff.
Yeah. And there's just the whole vibe of the team and the vibe of ownership, Jed York, Prague Marate. It's funny because all of the things that you thought you didn't really like about Jed York were maybe a lot of those were actually Trent Baalke. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that you liked about Trent Baalke, those good things were actually Prague Marate with, you know, the trades and the contracts and stuff. And it's like, because Prague was like, nobody liked Prague a couple of years ago. And now you're like, oh my God, we're glad we've got this guy.
Right.
It's in the front office. So it's kind of crazy how everything's flipped. Even Richard Sherman is all of a sudden, you know, everybody's best buddy. It's like, amazing. How does that happen? It's crazy.
It's amazing what time can do, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Well, speaking of time, I want to start with Dwight Clark and get your thoughts on that, because I know you do have some thoughts. And unfortunately, he did not have enough time with us on this earth. And really, man, that disease, when it hit, and I don't know if he was dealing with it for a long time that we didn't know about, but it seemed so fast. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I did have the pleasure of getting to meet him one time. I was out covering the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am when I was KSBW Action News anchor. And I got to be out there, and it was one of those Giants 49ers shootouts, and, you know, it's on hole one, and I'm standing there, and, you know, Jerry Rice is out there, and Harris Barton and Matt Cain, and, you know, and I'm just in awe of all these guys. And I'm walking down hole one, and I just look to my right, and I didn't even realize Dwight Clark was out there, you know, because I was so distracted doing all this stuff. And he's standing right next to me, and he just looks down at me because he's, you know, he's a big guy. And he smiles. He's like, "How you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm doing great," you know, blah, blah, blah. And he took time to have this conversation with me. And they said, "Hey," he saw that I had a camera. He said, "Hey, find me after this. I'll do a little interview for you." And I was just like, that's just the nicest thing ever. This guy has no reason, you know, to do anything for me. I'm just some nobody, you know, in some small market television station. He's just wants to start a conversation with me, and then, you know, does do the interview afterwards. And he's just super nice and, you know, man of his word. And it just, that always stuck with me. It's like, wow, what a nice guy, you know. Can't and just, it was so sad when you, you know, you hear about what, when he first announced the ALS, and then, you know, obviously what happened yesterday. It's just, it's devastating, of course, because he's so young, 61. You know, my parents aren't, and, you know, one of my parents is older than that, and one is younger. And it's just, you know, it just makes you think about things, and, you know, it's sad, and he'll always be remembered. I did see one thing today. I forget who it was. What was his name on Twitter? Let me just, you know, I need to give credit where credit's due. Kevin Jones of Twitter said the 49ers should put a number 87 patch in the end zone, exactly where Dwight Clark made the catch. I think that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about they want to do something this year. Like, that seems perfect. Why not? Just a little tiny circle in the back, an 87. I'd love that. Yeah. I know it didn't happen there.
They should just put a statue there, but... in the end zone.
Yeah,
like a little hazard, but...
I'm on board.
Yeah. That's a great idea. And I love that story that you just told. And there's so many stories like that about that guy. And for him to go out of his way to help out a young guy, who's a young, you know, journalist doing his thing over at, what was it? Action News 8, right?
Yeah. KSBW, baby. Yeah. I mean, I was fresh out of college too. Just this young kid. I was doing my own camera work and stuff. Like, no, it was so nice of him.
Action News 8 Sports with Nick Winkler.
Hey, there you go.
That's it.
That's the one. Dwight Clark making things, it definitely gave me some confidence too, you know, just that, oh, look, I got my first interview in the bag already, and a lot followed that week, but that was my very first one. And that was awesome. Really cool.
Yeah. And then you were just, now you're like, got confidence, right? And so you're just bouncing around and getting interviews with everybody, right?
I went up and talked to Jerry Rice after that. And, you know, Harris, I talked to everybody, Matt Cain, Kruk and Kuiper out there. I was talking with them. I just, you know, when he approached me, it just kind of reminded me like, hey, this is a human being, you know, like I've idolized these guys growing up, but he's just another guy, you know, who just happens to be really good at football was, you know? And So, yeah, just really kind of brought, I don't want to say brought the stars down, but yeah, it just kind of made everything just kind of, brought it into a reality check, I guess. Just like, look, I'm out here too.
Yeah.
And you know, like, we're all on the same playing field right now.
And it's always great when you do run into somebody that, and they're just a down to earth, humble dude, and they're real. That's always the best, because you never know, because sometimes it's not like that and you can't take that for granted.
Oh yeah. I've run into the opposite for
right?
sure.
Yeah. Egos can run high in the sports biz. And so it's really cool to have somebody, and look, 10th round draft pick. He wasn't somebody who was coming out and, you know, highly recruited and just like a big time, you know, number one overall pick, and
right.
he had to fight his way through. And I think that's part of who he was too. He was a 10th round draft pick and had to earn his spot and ended up being a huge part. I mean, it's, and I was too young to remember it. I was alive, but not old enough to understand what was going on. And, my teams were the late 80s or early 90s, 49ers teams.
But saw that video, you saw him hanging around.
You still saw what happened from that, and still Joe Montana was around and all these other guys, but that was such an amazing moment. One of the biggest moments in the NFL. And certainly, like, when you talk about the 49ers, that's the biggest play still that's ever happened and probably ever happen for the 49ers, because it starts. Yeah. So much came after that too. Even if the 49ers these amazing plays and going to the Super Bowl, and that was the first one, man. That's where it all began. That's the beginning of the dynasty.
Yeah. And I would listen to stories because, you know, obviously I started liking the 49ers because my dad did, you know, and so I would watch him with him. And and I just remember him. He would tell it all the time. Oh, well, it's just like the catch, you know, in the NFC championship game, Dwight Clark back in the end zone. He leaped 22 feet in the air. You know, the tall tales just grew and grew.
Yes. That's awesome. Should we get into the mailbag?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Oh, wait, anything from OTAs before we get into that?
You see a little bit. I guess Joe Williams looked really great. I don't know if you've read any of that.
Yeah, Breida and Williams looking like they're not going to just give up all the carries to Jerick McKinnon, which is good. Oh, by the way, last week, the DeForest Buckner sack celebration question, we couldn't remember where that came from.
Yeah.
I looked it up, and he was talking about how he's like, it's like the improv where he's like sweeping them off the stage. So it's sweeping. It's not digging. We called it the somebody reminded me on Twitter. We called it the funky gravedigger.
Which was good. Time,
which I like still. But he's sweeping them off the stage is what he's doing.
Call it the funky sweeper.
Sweeping
them
off
now.
The field, yeah.
The funky broom man.
Yeah.
Funky janitor.
This from, let's see, where are we at here? Oh, from Chris Biederman. So J.J. Wilcox, it looked like he was going to sign with the 49ers, strong safety, and it turns out that he's going to sign with the New York Jets instead.
Wow. Yeah. That seems a little silly.
Yeah, so that's weird.
You
came.
Have fun. Have fun with the Jets.
Maybe he came to Santa Clara and he's like, took a look at Kwaski Tart and Adrian Colbert practicing. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to get any play time here. I'm going to go over to the Jets.
Right. No, although, this facility's too nice. I got to go.
The Jets have a first-round draft pick and stud strong safety in Jamal Adams they drafted last year, too, so he's not going to get any playing time there.
Well, maybe he's gonna the first backup, and the Niners are like, you're going to be battling for the third spot.
And then someone asked me on Twitter, which is a great point, last night after the rumored J.J. Wilcox signing, is why not Eric Reed?
Yeah, I don't understand it. I'd love to have Eric
Reed.
He's
a better
back.
Player.
Yeah.
You already know him. It's
probably costs more, right?
I mean, more expensive, and maybe Reed doesn't want to sign that, you know, one-year backup deal, and he thinks he's better than that, and he probably is. So
he's waiting for somebody to get hurt and a team that needs a starter or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that Malcolm Smith also limped off or was held out there with a hamstring or a knee or something.
Yeah.
Malcolm Smith. That's not what you want to see.
And Jimmy Ward already dinged up a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't practice. It was tweaked groin. That's what it was.
Oh, for Smith?
Yeah, and Ward was a tweaked ankle.
Yes.
But I guess none are too serious. So
none serious. So that's good. PED, 4-game suspension. Haven't really talked about that. Victor Bolden, he said he unknowingly took some supplements, and John Lynch backed him up on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, I'll be honest, that's just kind of stupid. Yeah, you know what you're putting in your body. I mean, come on.
Right.
No offense, but, you know, if you're getting paid $1 million or high hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe you should take a look at the supplement that you've decided to put inside your body when you know that you're going to get drug tested. You know, this isn't something that he doesn't know about.
And don't they get, like, all the free supplements they need that they can take from the team?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they wouldn't give you something bad. You're doing this at home? Like, that's what makes me think, like, did he not know?
Yeah.
Come on.
He's getting a little fast and loose with the rules there, Victor. You got to dial that in. You're fighting for a roster spot. There's a lot of competition there at that wide receiver spot all of a sudden.
That's not the right thing to do right now. No. There's all kinds of people, iron sharpening iron out there.
Yeah, a lot of irons being sharpened with other
so
iron.
So much iron.
Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron.
I haven't heard as much of that this season as last. That was like all they were saying last training camp.
Wait till they put the pads on.
Yep.
You can't sharpen iron really when you're, you know, just hand slapping.
That's true. That's true. This is a good one from Jennifer Lee Chan at practice. She said 49ers coach John Benton has been impressed with Joshua Garnett this offseason. Confirms he has transformed his body and has been, quote, balls to the wall in practice. He's been playing on the right side. Yeah, so he's been on the right side, but it could change during training camp. But you want your balls on the wall if you're going to put them anywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, go Joshua. I like that. No, this is what you expected. You know, he said he was all in on the change during the offseason last year, or during the season last year, and he's showing up with the right mindset, and that's smart. You know, this is one shot in the NFL. I mean, you know, obviously he can get something somewhere else, but, you know, you want to be part of this thing. You know, they're building something. If you want to be that starting right guard, then, yeah, dude. You did the right thing. And
it's one thing to talk the talk, but he did it. He lost the weight. He put in the work. So that's a great sign.
I hope it's not like a Pablo Sandoval situation, you know, where he's like, I lost the weight. Look at me. And then dad's success. And is like, I'm going to put it right back on.
Yeah, it puts it right back on. Or you're like, oh, man, you don't play as good when you're skinny. Will you put that weight back on, please?
Right. Yeah, that's true, too.
Let's go to the mailbag. You ready?
Let's rock.
All right. There's a couple old ones that I wanted to bring up that I totally forgot about. The story about the 49ers purchasing a stake of the Leeds United Soccer Club?
I did not hear about that.
You hear about this? Yeah, this is a question from Steve on Twitter. He said, a bit baffled by the 49ers purchasing a stake of Leeds United, terrible club with serious ownership problems for over 15 years. I have no clue about any of that as far as soccer goes or football to some. But Leeds, obviously a team in England, in the UK there. Live in Leeds is a The Who album. It's a famous Who album, Live in Leeds.
Sure.
I always associate Leeds with The Who. Buy low, right? If they're a terrible club with serious problems, get in there and then build that team up, and now you've got a great asset. And soccer is huge over there. So, yeah, buy low is what I'm saying. You're not going to – I mean, some of the greatest clubs, you're not going to be able to get in and buy some, right?
Yeah, and they're just going to name John Lynch the general manager, and then everything's going to go great.
Yeah, they have a lack of iron over there, so
he's going to bring it with him. He's going to put it in an overhead compartment.
Right.
Everything will be good.
So looking forward to that, the Leeds.
Ask Kobe about that. He's all about that football now.
Oh, is he? Wait, the 49ers play the Bears again this year?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, we'll have Kobe on for that for sure. Maybe have him on anyways.
Talk some soccer with him.
Yeah, talk some Leeds soccer.
Be like, explain to me why soccer is good.
Let's see here. Where are we? Let's go to Jason on Twitter He said he was watching the 1994 America's game of 49ers. He's got me thinking, if we won in 2018, what three players would you want to recap the season, and who would you want as a narrator?
Interesting.
He offers up Joe Staley, Jimmy G, and Foster, and then narrated by Ron Perlman.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good call. Kind of off the grid there with the Ron Perlman. I wouldn't have expected that, but that's a good call. I like that.
I think it would be the guy from the Avengers, the Arrow guy. What's his name? Jeremy Renner.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because he's a big Niner fan.
Yeah, he's a local guy.
Yeah. I think that's who I'd be wanting to narrate it. Joe Staley would be my number one choice for
Staley
sure.
Staley has to be in there. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's a talker. Reuben Foster, obviously, super charismatic. A great guy to chat with. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go against those three because, you know, you got Garoppolo, who's the face of the franchise now.
Yeah, I like Buckner. I think Buckner could do a good job in there. Probably at this point, Richard Sherman.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, let's just see.
That dude likes to talk.
yeah, but, you know, you got to do something with the club first.
Right, yeah. You know what's funny? Because I think we talked about this before. It's like, so everyone loves Richard Sherman all of a sudden, but what if he plays bad and he doesn't get back? And then people are like, oh, yeah, you know what? Screw that guy. I forgot it. I always hated that guy anyways.
Yeah.
They could still turn, man. Things could still turn quick. So still got to see him on the field.
We love the 49er logo, man. If you're good for us, yeah, we welcome you in. You come in, take a bunch of money, and then play bad? Not so much.
Yeah.
But he won't be taking a bunch of money. So,
and Sherman
if he comes in and if he affects Witherspoon and, you know, any of these other young cornerbacks in a positive way, then it's worth it.
Yeah, like I've been saying, he's the highest paid defensive backs coach in the league right now.
It's a fact, man. Yeah. I love it.
Let's go.
He knows the system.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Ryan. He says, hey, Brian, I was listening to the Winky Wednesday pod, and you mentioned expectations, and the roster is mostly the same as 1-9 team. Let's not forget that we lost 5 games by 13 points. Those will
good point.
All likely would have been wins with Jimmy, hashtag faithful, hashtag 49ers. That's a good point. They did lose a lot of close games, but then there was also some games like that – the Rams game. Well, there were some games that were not close, but there was the Rams game. Remember, it was, what, 45-42 or something crazy?
That game was so much fun to watch.
But the Rams did everything to hand the 49ers that game.
Yeah.
The turnovers, muffed punts. The Niners still just weren't good enough to go win that game, even if it was handed to them on a platter.
Right.
And the one win before Jimmy showed up, the Giants win, I always say that was the worst team I saw last year, was that New York Giants team. They were so bad. Unbelievable how bad they were with some of the name talent that was on that team. So even with some close games, and they showed some heart there early in the season. You still got to win, you know. So a lot of games are tight in the NFL. 3 to 7 points is a huge margin sometimes.
It is, and it's all about 1 point. That's all you need is one point more than your opponent. And yeah, I mean, there were a lot of tight games last year, but you know, Hoyer wasn't the man, and that's all right. And now we've got the man, and hopefully, you know, he's protected and you know, gets in there and they don't suffer anything too drastic here in the off season, you know, like has already happened to, you know, Hunter Henry going down last week or maybe it was a week and a half ago. I mean, that was brutal for the Chargers. Like they had very high hopes for him. They cut Antonio Gates. They're like, oh, we're good. Thanks. You've been one of the greatest tight ends of all time, but we got this guy now. We got this guy. Not sure.
So I was thinking about Jimmy Garoppolo. So once he did show up last year, and then won those 5 straight games, and every position group looked better.
Right.
And so the Jimmy G effect was absolutely real. So
there's something to be said for confidence in the locker room.
Is it that?
It's contagious, man.
Is that player, that position, so important that you can go from losing every game to winning every game? Like, is that the swing?
Well, you got to think about it too. I mean, when you're looking at a quarterback, you're talking about a guy who's controlling an offense. Not only that, but when you got a guy out there that's 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, your defense is going to get tired really, really quick. And so if you got a guy out there that knows what he's doing and can get you some first downs, you at least give your defense some rest. So you could see how that could affect the opposite side of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, then, you know, you also got a guy who's just a great quarterback who makes plays happen with his feet. He gets outside the pocket, that quick release. I mean, oh man, it's just, he makes guys look good. He puts it on the dime. And yeah, I do think that one, that's the one position I think in football that can really, really affect a game. Cause you know, even if you're a running back, there's no holes for you and you're getting hit as soon as you're handed the ball, like no go. But if you're a quarterback and you're in the shotgun, like you already have a couple seconds, you know, to make a play. So that I feel is the one spot where you can actually make a difference on the football field, and he looks like that kind of guy.
So I'm looking at, I was trying to think of what team and like when that has ever happened. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, okay, Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year. Best quarterback in the NFL right now, probably, or one
That's
of the top two or three guys. So he got hurt in during week seven. So the first 6 weeks, the Packers record, they lost two games. They were 4-2. He got hurt in that seventh week. They lost that week and they went on to win only three more games the rest of the year. So I think that's a pretty good comparison. Like that's how, and they weren't a playoff team. They fell off a cliff. And two of those wins were in overtime. So that's what happens when you go from Aaron Rodgers to Brett Hundley. And you saw the reverse of that when you go from, you know, Hoyer or CJ Beathard to Jimmy Garoppolo. Man, that's such a huge, huge swing and it can't be overstated. And so the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo should be in every single game next year. And I think that, you know, it's like maybe they're still building that talent. Maybe they're not all the way there yet, you know, from top to bottom of the roster, but the bottom of the roster is getting better. And that competition, we talked about the wide receiver position earlier, the competition is getting better. The depth is getting better. And then now you just have to have those stars that pop up to go along with, you know, Reuben Foster and Joe Staley and DeForest Buckner and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. And I was going to say Tom Brady, but I feel like there was a season where he got hurt early on and Matt Castle still led him to like 10 or 11 wins.
That's true. Yeah. That's because
and then got that huge deal from the Chiefs.
I think it's pretty obvious that Tom Brady is a system quarterback anyway. So that's just goes to show you.
Well said.
No, that's a good point too. So, but yeah, that's how important the quarterback position is. And I don't think so. There's two sides of the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, not to just take the whole podcast up talking about this, but so Jimmy Garoppolo went 5-0, right? But he was kind of a sneak attack at the end of the season. So you would assume that he would get better with a full off season in the system. And now he's knowing the whys, right? As Kyle Shanahan put it, learning the playbook, he's understanding why these things are happening. And instead of just memorizing plays and going out there and playing, but defenses now will have a chance to have a full off season of watching Jimmy Garoppolo play and game planning for him. So both of those things are going to happen at once. And so there's a lot of, he should get better, but teams should be better defending him as well. So that's going to be fun to watch and see how that goes, that chess match. And Kyle Shanahan's one of the best chess players in the NFL when it comes to calling an offensive game plan. So that's good news.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Shanahan was only in Atlanta for two seasons, right?
That is correct.
The first season, Matt Ryan did all right. And then the second season, he went to a Super Bowl.
He blew up. That was an all-time season. Yeah, Matt Ryan had a crazy year.
You give the guy – and everybody knew what they were trying to do because they saw it in year one. So
good point.
It just makes me think that, no, I mean, now that, like you said, he understands the whys, and he probably has many more plays at his disposal because, you know, you can't memorize a whole playbook that quickly and get in there. So I'm sure that they kind of dumbed it down a little bit for him. So – yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what's going to happen, man. And I think that he can take another big step forward. I mean, clearly, you know, he's going to lose a football game. I hate to be the one to break it to everybody out there, but I mean, maybe not too many because he's good. And like you said, there's just a lot of depth at every position now. And, you know, we're talking about bringing in a better right tackle to run block better. And you sign McKinnon and now Breida and Williams are going after it. And you still got Juszczyk and, you know, you bring in Pettis and you bring, it's just, Kittle's another year older. So the offense is looking great. And I don't know, man, I'm getting myself all pumped up over here.
Yeah.
And calm down, take a breath.
And again, the depth, I don't think should be overstated. We saw how many injuries can happen, right?
Yeah.
Around the league and any team can just be devastated by injuries. And so the bottom of the roster is getting so much better. You have all that competition at wide receiver. So you end up going to your third, fourth guy. You don't have to just go to the street and find a free agent to come in. Defensive backfield, they added a bunch of defensive backs, depth-wise, offensive line, defensive line, guys like Ronald Blair, we never talk about, but he's a pretty good player, you know? Kendrick Bourne, same story.
Stay fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's keep this mailbag moving along. Let's go to Facebook for one. This is Anthony on Facebook. He says, can't tell you how much I appreciate Locked On 49ers. Thank you very much for that, Anthony. I assume this PED suspension gives Bolden almost no chance to make the team. Am I right? If so, who does that open a window for? Richie James? Or was he already ahead of Bolden? Just the fact that they drafted two returners says a lot. Thanks again for being there for us, faithful. I appreciate the kind comments there, Anthony. So Victor Bolden, it's an uphill battle with that suspension. Just makes it that much more difficult. It might have been hard anyways.
Yeah, he was already going uphill. He's added a boulder that he has to push too.
Yeah, and so you've got some locks which are the top, I would say five. I would put Kendrick Bourne in the lock category, right, at this point?
Yeah, I think so.
With all the reports of how good he's looking right now in camp and or in OTAs and how good he looked finishing the season last year. And he was an undrafted free agent, so you're never rock solid there. But I got to believe they like him a lot. He's their tallest wide receiver too at this point.
Yeah, and then who's going to play special teams, right? I mean...
Right. And so the bottom of the roster, you got to play some special teams. And they brought in Richie James, who can do that. They brought in, obviously, Pettis is going to be a return guy.
Right.
And so it's going to come down to, yeah, so you got Bolden. You've got Nelson, the undrafted free agent this year, who's a bigger body wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Richie James.
Yeah, man, I think he's going to have a tough time making this team. He really is. I mean, even practice squad style, I think.
I agree. It's going to be very difficult for him. Aldrick Robinson. That's the guy I'm missing. So you got Aldrick Robinson.
Right.
He's very similar to Richie James. He's actually, you know, a veteran version of kind of what Richie James is, height, weight, speed-wise. Max McCaffrey, I think, is going to be very tough for him to make it. Aaron Burbridge is probably going to be his last gasp. But, do they keep six wide receivers? I don't know. I mean, Garcon, yeah. Pettis, Goodwin, Taylor. Those four locks. Kendrick Bourne is number five, probably pretty close to a lock. So you've got Aldrick Robinson, Richie James, Stephen Dunbar, Victor Bolden. They're battling for that sixth spot.
Probably in that order, too.
I'd be surprised if they're trying to take more than six. And yeah, I would say Richie James is who I'm putting my money on for that spot. Yeah.
Another young guy, speed burner, yeah.
Yep.
Youth a gunner and speed. On the kickoff team that's almost useless because kickoffs are going to go away.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they're going to turn into more like punts, which would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, let's move it along here. We got some more stuff to dip into the mailbag. Let's go to Chris. He says, I have a feeling that Kittle is going to have a monster year this year. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be a monster. I love Kittle to be that sneaky guy that just blows up. All of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's just a stud.
Yeah, I mean, you want that big receiver over the middle. I mean, why not Kittle?
Yep, that size. He's got the athleticism. He doesn't ever have to leave the field because he's a good blocker as well. But then right. There's Selleck time too, man.
Yeah.
Selleck time in practice. I guess the team was erupting every time Selleck catches a touchdown in practice. Everyone points at their wrist with a watch. It's Selleck time.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's kind of funny. Let's see. Let's go to one more. This is 904 Niners Nation. He says, I know everyone is high on the Rams, but you can't buy chemistry. Would you guys be surprised if the Rams experiment doesn't work out and they miss the playoffs?
Yeah, I commented on that. I actually, that's one of the few times I interacted on Twitter because it really just reminds me of the early 2000 Washington football team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when they went out and just spent a bunch of money and they're like, we got this, and they didn't do anything. It was a complete failure. And yeah, the chemistry, there's a lot to be said for chemistry in the locker room.
Yeah, and the mercenary mentality. Sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, I already got my paycheck. We're going to coast because we're so good. We're reading the press clippings. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of some characters they brought in there that maybe those guys don't get along. Maybe it gets weird. Who knows? There's a lot of things that can happen. Yeah. So it's not a game.
They don't want to take a back seat to Donald because it's kind of his team, you know?
And what is and if you're Donald, because then, so now you get into personality. So now Donald's saying, wait, you're not going to give me a contract, but you're going to do all this and sign all these dudes and bring all these guys in. But you're not going to take care of your own first? And he's like,
yeah,
screw
I think
that.
Especially if he's not signed by the beginning of the season, then I think, you know, it's a powder keg waiting to explode.
Yeah, so it could definitely go in that direction. I don't expect it would, but that's one possible outcome for sure.
Yeah, that's something Niner fans can, hold their hat on as possible way to win the West.
Yeah. Or
the implosion of this. I almost said St. Louis Rams.
And they're not a young team. All those guys they brought in are a little bit older. So, you know, kind of a step slow. If Sue's not the guy he used to be, if Aaron Donald holds out, if Aqib Talib, who's, 30-something years old now, it could definitely go south.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Fingers crossed.
But on paper, they look good, man. They look good. But you don't play football games on paper, do you, Nick?
That's right. No, you don't. Any given Sunday. And best saying in all of football.
Yep, that's right. I love it. Let's end on that.
Sounds good. Good movie, too.
I wasn't a big fan of that one.
You don't like it?
No, I didn't hate it. What about?
Oh, man. Cameron Diaz was great in that movie.
Oh, see? Yeah, I'm not big on Cameron Diaz.
That's
not my girl.
That's like the one role I liked her in.
I mean, I don't like go around thinking about Cameron Diaz and be like, you know, let's see.
You're like, The Mask.
Yeah, that was her best performance by far.
You know, I don't even think I ever even seen
I wish you'd have just stopped right then.
That was it. No, something about Mary, of course.
How about the program?
Yeah, that was all right. James Caan, is that his name? I'm not really a big fan.
I haven't seen that in so long. I was probably in high school when I saw it, and I felt like I liked it then, but...
Yeah, he bought the doorknob for his mom.
It might not have aged as well. I don't know. Football movies are a little bit more difficult, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Than like baseball movies. Baseball movies always seem to age pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Like The Natural, you can still watch that movie today.
Major League, come on.
Oh, yeah. Bull Durham, come on.
Yeah.
Super relevant. Meat.
Let's see how long we can name baseball movies.
I go all day.
Best part of Bull Durham, the very end, he goes off to coach in Visalia, my hometown.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Leave on that note. All right, Nick, thanks again for joining me here on Locked On 49ers.
My pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.